Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today in our plush McHugh Center studio is Zach Swanson, the starting tight end for the Virginia football team. Zach, this is your final training camp at UVA, and the end is in sight. Will you be emotional when you break camp this weekend?
Yeah, it didn't really hit me until, I want to say yesterday, because Coach O'Brien, you know, we were breaking it down at the end of practice, and he said, oh, yeah, you know, Zach, tomorrow's your last 2-day. And I hadn't even thought about it. I mean, it didn't, like I said, it didn't hit me. It's just, oh, yeah, we got another camp, another season, here we go. But, yeah, I mean, this is last of a lot of things coming up, you know, last season, last, you know, last training camp going through, last time to be with some of my teammates, you know, and friends that I've had for 5 years now. So, yeah, I mean, it'll get pretty bad, I think so, towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
When we start getting finished.
Kind of checking things off the list. Who are you rooming with at the Cavalier Inn during camp?
I'm with Andre Livroni.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times they try to match up a older guy with a younger guy, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, sir.
Did you know him much before? Did you guys room together last summer too?
No, sir. Last summer I was with Zach Bradshaw. But this year, I think I was originally supposed to be with Miles Gooch, but they switched us or something because Miles was my roommate at home, so right. They didn't want that. So, but yeah, Andre's a good kid. You know, I've talked to him a lot before this camp, but this is the first camp I've really gotten to know who he is, you know, see what he sort of looks like outside of the football sphere. But yeah, I mean, he's a great kid, you know. He has a ton of potential. I mean, right. That kid, I mean, he redshirted last year, but this is his first year being able to play, and I'm excited to see what he can do and help us this year and even to the years to come. I mean, that kid has a ton of potential.
I saw a video this summer from CBS 19 about the house you're sharing with Miles Gooch and Grayson Lambert. Did you guys live together last year as well, or is this new?
Miles just recently moved in. It was me and Pablo Alvarez and Grayson, and then Rocco before that. Mm-hmm. I've sort of been the mainstay in that house. You know, people have been coming and going. But, yeah, I mean, we've been together for a while now, and, you know, we're all sort of from Georgia, so and we all get along pretty good.
Are you going to let Grayson know if you're not getting the ball enough this fall?
Absolutely, yeah. That's he's already heard it a little bit in camp. I've been like, come on, man.
Yeah. It's no secret the offense has struggled in recent years, especially in the red zone. You have a new starting quarterback in Grayson. There are some new faces on the line. Is it realistic to think that the offense can break out this season?
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously, you know, getting interviewed headed into the season by other people, you know, that's the question they ask is, you know, looking forward, what's going to change? And the thing I've always pointed to is, you know, now we have Grayson. We have somebody that we can all get behind. We have a guy that the coaches have pointed out and be like, this is our guy. And we can all sit there and be like, look, you know, we're going to get behind you and we're going to be with you and we're going to struggle and fight and succeed with you. And, you know, Grayson's really stepped up from when he first sort of took over in spring ball,
right.
You know, and since then, he's only grown. You know, he's matured a ton since I first met him and he first showed up here. And like I said, I mean, we have a ton of potential, just like I was talking about Andre. You know, these young guys, they have so much potential. You know what I'm saying? They're very, very good prospects for this and for this team. And I'm really excited to see what Grayson alone will add, you know, mm-hmm. to this offense.
You're one of several players on the team who will compete this fall as a graduate student. Tell us about the bachelor's degree you received in May and your academic plans for this semester.
Yeah, I graduated in May with a degree in environmental science. You know, that was a degree I worked hard for, and yeah, I'm excited to see what I can do with that in the future. I have a real interest in agriculture, but you know, UVA's not really that has an agriculture focus. But master's wise, yeah, I'm taking classes now, with a couple of other players in the Curry School of Higher Education. So, you know, sort of training to be a dean or mm-hmm. you know, college administrator. And those classes, I just finished my second class over the summer, and I, you know, it's very interesting stuff. You know, it gives you a different perspective because you go through college and you're like, oh, you know, there's students and then there's professors, but there's a lot more than that that goes into running a college. And it's, you know, it's an interesting perspective.
Speaking of agriculture, there were several articles written about you a couple of years back that mentioned the time you spent working on a dairy farm near Harrisonburg. What's the backstory there? Do you still get up there? Do you still work on the farm?
Yes, sir. So that started back first year. I jumped in way over my head first year. I think everybody jumps in over their head. I was doing football, obviously. I was doing ROTC. And then I was doing engineering school, and it, you know, I was just swamped. I couldn't keep up with schoolwork. I couldn't, you know. But through ROTC, I met one of the ladies that works sort of in the accounting finance, and her husband works that farm out there. And you know, I've had the chance to go out there and work, and you know, just sort of see what it's like out there. And it's changed my life, honestly. You know, I go out there every weekend. I get free pretty much, and I mean, it's like I said, it's changed my life, my perspective on, you know, what it means to be a man, honestly, because, you know, watching that guy and being with him and what it takes to be a farmer nowadays.
Had you worked on a farm or been around farms as a boy or anything?
No. I mean, my uncles had, you know, chicken farms or whatever, but this is, I mean, dairy farming is a very intensive, I mean, you wake up and like 2:45 in the morning.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no days off. Those cows need to be milked every day. So. But like I said, I mean, it's changed my life, and you know, I'm really interested to where my life is going to go.
With Jake McGee's decision to transfer to Florida, you're the only tight end in the program with more than one career reception. If you had a dollar for every time somebody asked you about Jake's departure this summer, how wealthy would you be?
Yeah, I'd be pretty well off. Yeah. No, you know. Like I've always said, you know, Jake was one of my best friends. You know, we sort of came in together. We sort of, you know, grew up together. You know, it didn't really hit me until this camp, like how much I really like leaned on him and needed him, you know, because we'd go through plays and we'd talk about plays and joke around about stuff. And we'd split like a Gatorade at halftime of the practice. And so I'm sitting there drinking and I'm like, ah, I can't finish this drink. So, yeah, I mean, it was just small things, but yeah, you know, Jake, you know, he's going to be successful. He is a great work ethic. He's going to, you know, he has a ton of talent, so he's going to do well wherever he goes. But yeah, I mean, him leaving is, like you said, I mean, there's, I guess I'm the only, you said.
Yeah. Only guy with more. Rob Burns has one career reception. So you're the veteran of the group.
Right.
You're confident. I know I've talked to you before. You're confident that you can kind of step into that role and be more productive as a receiver with more opportunities than you have in the past, right?
Yes, sir. And the other thing is, I don't think it's, you know, I've gotten asked that question before, like, you know, can you, or is it someone else's job to step up and fill that void? And, you know, I don't think, like I've said before, I don't think it's one person's job. I don't feel the pressure on me to step up and be the Jake McGee or make the Jake McGee catch it. You know, my answer has always been, you know, it's going to happen. You know, we have the receiving core, we have the running backs, and we have the skill players, and with Grayson, you know, directing and all, we have the skill players to step up and fill that void collectively. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just excited to be a part of that, you know what I'm saying, and do what I can do to help this offense.
You're one of only three scholarship tight ends in training camp, along with Rob Burns and Evan Butts, who's a true freshman. What are the position meetings like with Coach O'Brien? I mean, there's not another group that probably gets as much individualized attention from the position coach as the tight ends.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I've always said since he's shown up here, you know, it's like I have a head coach in my back pocket, you know. I mean, we're in that meeting room, there's three of us, and, you know, Coach O'Brien's sitting in the back sort of, you know, coaching and directing, you know. And he's, I mean, I've learned a ton since he's shown up, you know, and I think I've become a much better football player. And I sort of, you know, he's sort of walked me through, you know, what it is to be a tight end. And, you know, like, I mean, I don't know how to say it. I have a head coach in my back pocket. I can go to him about anything.
For two seasons, you had the distinction of being the tallest fullback in college football. Did that make you a better tight end? You moved back to tight end last year. Played there last year. Are you a better football player, more balanced tight end, more versatile tight end because of the time you spent at fullback?
Yes, sir. I think so. I mean, I, you know, looking back, you know, I had to pl- play fullback and block, you know, Leroy Reynolds in every practice, you know, like we had ISO plays where I had to like just go up and smack, you know, and we smacked each other. It was like, you know, looking back at that, those experiences and what I had to do and the movement kind of stuff I had to do in the offense. And it, you know, it is a different position. You know, that's stuff that I can lean on going forward and be like, you know, I can do this. I have the experience and I have the versatility to do what's asked of me.
You were pretty lean when you arrived here in 2010. What do you weigh these days? Is it a struggle to add the weight and then maintain it?
Yeah, I think I showed up at 219. I had gone to Cuba like earlier in the summer for a mission trip, and I ate some bad beef or I don't know what it was, but it was bad, and I lost like 20 pounds. But yeah, so I showed up at 219, and it's been a struggle to put on and keep on weight.
Like, what are you now?
I'm like 250 now. Yeah, and I was 265 at the end of the earlier in the summer, and I got sick again, and so. But yeah, I mean, it's like, for me, it's always been a slow process putting on weight, and but I'm excited. You know, I really thought, you know, I was really upset when I lost, you know, 15 pounds at the end, right before training camp, right, this summer, and it, you know, it was because I had worked hard to put that weight on to put 260 to get
Can
to
you
265.
Get, I mean, is it realistic to put some weight back on before the season starts, or is that difficult?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely gonna, you know, put on weight slowly during the season. But the big thing was, I, you know, mentally I was like, you know, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Yeah, I was 265 and now, you know, I'm 250, which in reality is not that big of a deal. But mentally I was, you know, concerned. But out of practice, you know, I've really gotten the confidence of saying, you know, I can do all this stuff. I can, you know, and I've had the confidence to really step up and feel comfortable and good with what I'm doing.
You were born in Florida. You went to high school in Katy, Texas, outside of Houston. Did you make any stops in between? How old were you when the family moved to Texas?
Well, I was born in Florida. My family moved probably 13 or 14 times. My dad, he used to build bridges. He was a civil engineer. And so every 2 years we'd go to a new bridge site. So, I mean, I lived all over Florida.
So you have lived where?
You know,
lots of places in Florida?
Yeah, all over Florida, Puerto Rico, Alabama, up in Massachusetts. My dad, like, went back to school and got his master's. New Jersey for a while, and then Texas. And now my family lives in Atlanta. So
were you in Texas long enough? Do you consider yourself a Texan? Or?
Absolutely. No, I think anybody who lives in Texas considers. But yeah, no, I was there for what I consider my formative years. You know, I was there eighth grade through when I graduated high school. You know, and that's really when I formed my identity and, you know, who I was. And I miss Texas. I mean, that's, you know, it's a different place, you know.
At Katy High School, you played on two state championship teams and another team that reached the state final. What kind of crowds did your team draw at home? Was it a scene out of Friday Night Lights type deal?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, it was my senior year was just like the movie, pretty much. I mean, I was a team captain. We had just won two state championships the 2 years before, and there was so much pressure on us to go for a third one. And, you know, we, like you said, there's, you know, tons of people show up for the games. Everybody, you know, you can look up in the stands and you know everybody up there. And, you know, we reached the state finals that year and we ended up losing. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a great experience that, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better high school football experience. You know, I feel so blessed to have gone to Katy High School and done what I've done.
You've been in Charlottesville for several years now. Have you had a chance to check out any local high school games, and how does the atmosphere at a high school football game here compare to Texas?
Yeah.
Does it compare?
I mean, I don't want to be rude, but like the it's, you know, it's different culture. You know, I mean, you know, I went to a Albemarle High School game. You know, and it, I mean, you know, football is football at the end of the day, but it's, you know, there's a different culture around here.
You
know,
Texas, you have spring football, right?
Right. Yes, sir. Spring football, we have a football period during the day, you know, like a class period where we would go out and practice football before lunch and then practice after school. But, you know, like I said, there's pretty much football down there and maybe basketball if you're a good athlete. But up here, you have so much more to do, I mm-hmm. feel like. So, you know, there's not as big of a draw.
Your parents, I believe, are Georgia Tech graduates,
yes,
right?
Yes,
how did you end up at Virginia?
Well, I mean, that's a it's one of those recruiting stories that, you know, you sort of, you don't know where it's, what's going to happen until you're there. And when you can look back and say, okay, this is why it happened. But yeah, I mean, originally I was committed to Stanford, with Jim Harbaugh, and, you know, they ended up, they had four tight ends in the class in front of me, and they, you know, going into that, they told me, you know, these guys are not going to be tight ends. They're going to end up moving to tackle or wide receiver or some other position. So, you know, you don't need to be worried about that. But none of those guys ended up progressing. So, yeah, Harbaugh called me late in November of my senior year and was like, hey, we need you to gray shirt was the word he used. Mm-hmm. Basically go to a prep school. And, you know, I was like, you know, I'm going to play college football next year. I'm not going to go to a prep school. So, but he had called me so late that I was sort of left scrambling. So all my other offers that I had been, you know, they'd passed on me. They'd filled, you know, mm-hmm. they'd filled their offers. So, you know, I was left with a couple places and, you know, I think, UVA was going through some staff changes. I think that was right when London was getting hired. And so, you know, UVA was always one of the schools, you know, growing up watching ACC football with my, you know, my parents, you know, Virginia was always one of the schools that you sort of put on that, those lists of the good academic schools and the good football schools. And so, you know, I called a bunch of those places and like I said, I mean, it was late in the process and they had sort of, you know, already finalized their stuff. So, but I think I got really lucky and, you know, you, like I said, you understand why things happen is, you know, London was sort of in limbo and, you know, it worked out here. So
you mentioned you were in the ROTC program here for a couple of years. Was that Army or Navy?
Army. Yes, sir.
What, how'd you get interested in that? And, you said it was challenging, right? To juggle all the things you were trying to juggle at that time.
Yes, sir. But I mean, I'm interested in serving my country just at a base level. I mean, I was very close to going to West Point, you know, mm-hmm. after the Harbaugh gray shirt thing, you know, I was very close to going to West Point. I actually took my official visit up there and I was pretty close to signing. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I want to do. I want to serve my country, you know, and even after football, ends, you know, for me, that's the next step I'm going to do in my life is go to officer candidate school and join the Army.
Army. Okay. I know you need to roll. Training camp is still going on, so I'll ask you one final question. You came from an extremely successful high school football program. I'm sure you expected to continue winning at UVA. On a personal level, how difficult have the past two seasons been for you, and what would it mean to leave college on a high note?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like you said, I was blessed to go to a high school that really had a lot of success. We had a great head coach in Gary Joseph. You know, I mean, that guy – he was like 5'7", but all of us were scared to death of him, you know. And that, you know, he was a great guy, great coach. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think I lost more games my first year here than I did all of high school, you know. And that's one of those things where, you know, you go through and you start looking at yourself. You start being introspective and being like, you know, like am I good enough? Was I just part of a good team or, you know. But, you know, coming through here and you know, struggling to find a way to make it work in a different situation, you know, like being at UVA, and then finding a way to make it work. Like this season, I have very, very high hopes because I've been here 5 years. I've seen the way that it's, you know, it's been and what has changed going into this year. So it, you know, it would be a huge, huge thing to leave and be like, you know what, this is, I was successful. I learned how to do it. I learned how to be successful. Yes, sir.
Well, the opener will be here before we know it. Until then, thanks again for stopping by. Good luck this season.
Yes, sir.
For UVA Athletics, the 2014-15 school year officially begins Friday night when the women's soccer team hosts Marshall at Klockner Stadium. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check VirginiaSports.com for updates on all 25 of our teams, and thank you for listening.